You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. I am Gerrit from Geneva, Switzerland, and because we never change a team that is winning, I am with Gaia from Holland, and now he is relocated in Bogota, Colombia. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Gerrit. Hi, everyone.
So it is Thursday, Thursday, the 11th of July 2019, as I said, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio. I'm sorry?
77. 11th of July,
77.
7-11. I'll look up the PSYOPs of the day, if we have something.
I'm sure we have, because of
the launch of a so-called satellite. Today, in 1962. Another one, 1962, is one of the... This is the first communication satellite, and it worked just magically, immediately. NASA is great, right? The first transatlantic broadcast on 11th of July, 1962.
Interesting.
And it was before the Trans-Pacific broadcast to Japan, because that is what they did it in 1963. They used the so-called assassination of JFK as the first broadcast to Japan. And
yes, one would think that they waited until everything was ready almost.
Yeah, I mean, it was like an act, right? It's a theater, it's magic, it's stagecraft, it's voodoo, it's what they do. The game they play.
Yes. And supposedly it worked so well that the news of the death of John Kennedy and the name of the killer traveled to Australia or New Zealand before it did go to another place in the U.S.
But
if you remember
the Harvey Oswald? The Harvey Oswald?
Yes. His name was on some newspaper in Oceania.
Way too early for it to be possible. I thought he was in Eastern Germany, but okay. Could be, yeah.
Oh, maybe.
I'm far from an expert on the topic, on the subject. So,
yes. Yeah. I just read a few books on the subject, and it's a confusing mess. It's like 9/11. It's like all the big psyops that are shaping society for generations.
I just want to share something. I don't want to talk about it too much, or sorry, it's not for this chat, but did you know that the Argentinians, with a coming on Juan Perón in the government in 1945, on the 27th of March, or 42 days before the end of World War II, they declared war on the Axis powers, and then Juan Perón, he became the biggest importer of Nazis of all time, beating the U.S. with Operation Paperclip by 500%.
Yes, Gay was covering his tracks.
I mean, that is Nazism in one guy, right? I mean, that's just... So, and then in the meantime, in 1948, he was the first one to recognize Israel, right? With all the negatives in his own cabinet.
Yes, that seems like the decision of a fine politician, you know? The guy know when it's time to return your vest.
Yes.
You know at which time the wind is turning.
Yeah. Well, there is no wind turning. It's one big club. That's the thing. There's no wind, yeah?
Yes, it's like...
Same brand, the same...
Yes, it's the same sweater, it's the same brand, but you get two sides.
And depending on who you are, you wear a different size. Because the famous Hugo Boss, have you ever seen his photo?
No.
No? Okay, well,
no.
You have to go to peaceofmindful.com where I've posted about him. And he has the possibly least Aryan face you can imagine.
But that's always the case in the end, you know. You want to be in a good figure with the people in power and don't care what you look like.
Actually, I know, but they chose him, their brand, for their Nazi uniforms. And I understand why. It's a good brand. It's a good, nice clothing. And so I understand the quality and all that. Yeah, of course. It is. It's good stuff. It's for sure. But it's just a funny... Very funny thing, right? And he looks like Kazakh or like Chinese or something like that, right? He doesn't look European even. He doesn't look Jewish. He doesn't look Jewish, but he probably was. Because his mother, I think, she has had a pretty Jewish sounding name, last name. But I've looked into him a bit, but I forgot everything. And I just publish it, and then it's out there. That's more or less the thing.
And I think that he may have had crooked eyes also from the pictures.
Crooked eyes? What do you mean?
Yes, I get the feeling that the two eyes are not watching in the same direction.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes.
Which would be useful in the 1930s, 30s Germany in the end. Too many people to keep an eye on.
Yes.
So maybe that's why.
That's a feature, and that's why I don't have a problem with calling them reptilians. I wouldn't say that Hugo Boss was really up there reptilian-like behavior, but he was just a businessman in the end. But it's this what chameleons can do. Chameleons are such amazing animals. They're out of this world, literally. The way they walk, the way they move their eyes, their skin, their tongue. I mean, they're just... insane, right? And it's these eyes, these eye movements that were having two completely opposing worldviews and publishing, promoting that, this clown world stuff, right? That's only chameleons can do that, right? Sorry, there was a tangent.
Yes, Hugo Boss, strange looking guy, to be honest. But there is only one picture of the guy. I don't find that many different pictures of him.
Yes.
There is one portrait, so...
Yes.
Who knows if the guy even existed, you know? It's maybe just a creation, you know? And what we are looking is some kind of ad, you know?
Yeah, it could be. Could well be, yeah.
Yes. Because only one picture of the guy.
Yeah, I would expect that he would show up with the other Nazis. And I think there are many pictures, and there are many stage pictures. Not all of them, but there are many stage pictures. So staging a picture and faking pictures, it's an industry just as old as photography itself, right? I mean, it works in a simple business way. I mean, your boss says, we need a picture. Your boss says, we need a picture. That's your job. You have to come up with something. What do you do? You can fake.
Yes, you are the face of something. In the end.
That's how it all worked. And these people rose to the top, and they became the Randolph Hearst, the literal, let's say, the inventor of fake news. And
yes, it's the same thing. And in the end, I don't own a company, so I can't say nothing about that, but... In the end, you still get a kind of a responsibility to the people that you provide a livelihood to, you know, a salary. So I will not say that you get to make a pact with the devil, but you get to be pragmatism in some way. And you get to consider, of course, the regime that is in place. But if the only contract that are available is for a military uniform, what will you do?
Yes.
Send everybody home and sell your house and...
Yeah.
Buy a smaller apartment and then say, okay, fuck it, I am not doing that because of what, in the end, your country is in war. And I think that even refusing such a contract will get you in big trouble and you will end up losing the company and having nothing to show for it.
Yes. On that topic, what about, do you know about Fordlandia?
Yes.
Fordlandia.
We spoke briefly about that.
Sorry, it's Fordlandia.
Fordlandia.
in Brazilian, kind of. My Brazilian putinho. Fordlandia.
Which is a very, very strange place.
Yeah, what about...
I found out about it in a child cartoon, child comic.
Really?
The Marsipulami. The Marsipulami.
Ah, really? The Marsipulami, oh yeah. Oh,
yes, there is one that is called Fordlandia.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, go on, please.
So that's how I find out about the place, and a few years later, many years later, I watched a few pictures on the internet, but
that's
I know about
excellent
the place, but I am not
all the Americans
that familiar.
I mean, Gareth, tell us about the Marsipulami, I mean, the comic.
All the English-speaking
world doesn't know about this. It's a French comic, or is it Belgian?
I think it's Belgian. It's French or Belgian. The guy that started it is named Franquin, if I am right.
Yeah.
I think that the guy was Franquin, which is a comic drawer from Belgium or France. Anyway, he invented the story of Spirou and
Belgium,
Fantasio.
Yes. Yeah,
Spirou and Fantasio were... make a long story short, two characters that did get the chance to go to Amazonia where they found this mythical creature named the Marsipulami. Marsupilami or Marsipulami?
Marsupilami.
Marsupilami. So anyway, they found this odd creature with a very, very long tail that he can take form of a fist or whatever. And the creature has a strong temper and also... an incredible strength.
Yeah. Operation Attila, Marsipulami. That is
the
sound of German. But this started in 1952.
Yes.
On Laura's birthday.
Oh, interestingly enough.
Yeah. Wow.
So
this is really from my childhood. This is really, definitely. I used to read this when I was a kid. It stopped in 1958, or 1968, and then there's one in 2016, but yeah, that's not by the guy, because he died before that. Yeah, in Dutch, there's another name for this, Robbedoes en Kwabbernoot. Hey, how about the Dutch name, right? Robbedoes en Kwabbernoot. Yes.
So he never tried to get into the USA with a passport where he's from. Robadouche.
But the writer, he is Wallon, but he understood. I mean, he spoke some Dutch, at least. I mean, they all get Dutch in school. A Flemish Dutch. Robadouche and Kwabbernoot. That is great. And these words are used in Dutch still. Because of this comic.
Mm-hmm. We get back into the nostalgia, sort of, and that was the point of the song that we hear in the intro. It was an old song from when I was, I think, 12 to 13 years old. And yes, I this song was on my suggestion of YouTube the other day, and he sent me back a few years back. So
you still have suggestions? Well, watch it, because YouTube is going to change for you. Because I was having the same, I thought, like... people said, I don't have recommendations anymore. And I was like, I still have recommendations. But then, when this YouTube ban thing was going on, that day it changed. And it's one big screen with a whole mess. There's no subdivision anymore. That used to be there. And that's what you still have. But it will change in your future. And we're talking about the future. Because it happened to me too. So download everything interesting, because later on it will be much harder to find. You have your history still, but you get much less recommendations. It's just one big screen and it's the only software I know where actually the functionality goes drastically down with an update. That's not normal, right? I mean, that's
I think
normal.
That is just their way to sending you in one specific direction, you know? Slightly,
exactly.
Little by
very
little.
Very much, yes. They adjusted their algorithms to get people more, and then they push the mainstream ones, because they have the most views, to the forefront, and that's how they do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and they have a great mood analyzer at that. They know exactly what you are feeling almost.
I used to watch like 10 hours of YouTube a day. Not every day, I mean sometimes like two or nothing or whatever, but up to that. And now I watch maybe 15 minutes every 2 days or so. Or, I don't know. No, with the Plan Patagonia, okay, then I spent 9 days of intense research, but okay, that's... I've added some stuff today on history. It's very interesting history, everything.
Yes, but that's different because I think that it's more orientated, you know? So, but YouTube is always trying to send you in,
it's not the same consuming attitude you have with Netflix and the former YouTube. What you still have. That is like really consumerism driven. You get recommendations you want to watch on. Maybe you start somewhere and then you search for something and then it comes on or some other things come on and so it's great. I love it. But that becomes much less with this update.
Yes, but it depends because sometimes you end up at YouTube space, you know?
Like, imagine that Netflix with an update would remove all the organization. That all the horror movies are between the documentaries and then all the series together. Everything one big mess. Right?
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And we are back.
Yes. Please, tell us more where did the Marsupilami and Robidus and Quabernaut go else? I mean, do you remember any there? I guess it's hard for me to remember as a kid.
I
remember, yeah. But do you remember?
There was this volcanic island where the Antaglube in French, the kind of crazy science-driven dictator, you know, the one that... He's kind of bold, and he has an army of kind of
drugged-up
soldiers or whatever, mind-control soldiers, don't know how to call them.
Yeah, I have to look it up in Dutch, because otherwise I cannot make sense of it. Yes.
But you know the character I am speaking about.
I just need to refresh my memory from literally 30 years ago, right?
No, it's strange that I remember this that good. They did go to an island where they performed some strange things on the indigenous people. Also, I remember that.
Santa Calamita? What is this?
That's possible. The antagonist was on a volcanic island and he had his HQ there. That I remember. And they also did an horrible movie on those characters. The Marsupilami have had a movie, firstly, in 2011 or 2012. But it's not really worth watching. And Spirou and Fantasio, Robadouche and his friend, which name escaped me, also had a movie made last year. But to be honest, I watched the 15 first minutes and I could not stand the rest of it.
Do you know what I found by looking? I couldn't find it, but a volcanic island, Spirou. Do you know what I found?
No.
Spirou, the hunt for exoplanets is open. Observatoire Midi-Pyrénées.
Okay, so that should be in southern France.
No, this is actually on, and that's why, a volcanic island of Hawaii, Mauna Kea, because Spirou is... S-P-I-R in capitals and then O-U in small letters is an infrared spectropolarimeter. It's an innovative high precision instrument that is part of the Canada France Hawaii Telescope CFHT since January 2018. Its objective is to detect and categorize exoplanets similar to Earth in orbit around the red dwarfs located close to the solar system. Okay, there you go. Spirou.
Spirou and Fantasio.
And they have a cartoonish logo thing.
Yes, and they also did a cartoon for the kids with those characters also. The Marsupilami also had the cartoon. Those characters got a comeback. Maybe 10 years, 15 years ago, they had some kind of comeback with the cartoons and all that.
I was very much interested in exoplanets and so on, because I thought, okay, that's really cool. It really fascinated. But then I learned about all this fake space travel and so on, and I think they still... Oh? Hey, Craig, stop recording. What the fuck do we get here? Craig, why are you stopping recording?
What is happening to our friend Craig?
Now recording.
Okay, thank you, Craig. Welcome back. What were we talking about?
Like nothing happened.
Release exoplanet. And so I put them at Wikipedia as well. Quite some of them, actually. So also these dates when they were so-called discovered, or really discovered, because I think there are so many observatories built on Earth, and they keep building them, like this one in Hawaii, but I've been at one, which is publicly accessible, in Chile. Not one of these very large, huge ones, because you cannot visit those, but a smaller one. And it was great. I mean, I like to watch the moon and the stars and so through a big telescope. It's really special. But they keep building them, so they're using it. And they're studying things, and they're publishing things. And there is something real about what they find, right? It's not like complete made up or so. There is something to it. I mean, there is a different explanation possible or whatever, always, but if you read the articles, and for me it's mostly too technical, too much physical and so, but you see that always the scientists are not, this is the truth and this is how it is. That's only the Discovery Channel, National Geographic version that everybody gets, but that is not how real science works, really. It's bullshit. Theater version, right?
Yes, and educated guess, mostly.
No, for some things, yes, but not, I mean, there's so much science which is completely not educated guess. It's completely, I mean, experimental physical science, right? It's true. There's just a real speculation. That's true, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. I did find the cover of the Marsupilami album, Fordlandia. Which in the end was this wave of French Belgian cartoons for children of comics for children. They were a great way to get in some kind of general culture, of grasp on things and some interesting facts. You know, like I would never have heard about this Fordlandia place if it was not for this silly child thing.
No, it's not silly. It was great. I don't know if I remember this particular comic, but I've read a lot of them. In Dutch, of course, because it's not in French. Can you tell us about Fordlandia? What is it? I mean, you only know it through this, and it's very secretive. It's not like what you learn at school, right? So what is it?
Yes, Fordlandia is a kind of a ghost town, semi-ghost town, because there is still, people from... who do I call them? Brazilian people in the end. Those are Brazilian people that kind of live there. It's in a semi-ghost town in the heart of the Amazonian jungle where Henry Ford wanted to build a big...
Henry Ford.
I think Henry Ford, I'm sorry. Henry Ford.
Henry Ford, the Ford cars company, yeah.
Yes. Wanted to build, I think it's rubber, it's in English.
Rubber plant. Rubber plantation.
Yes, a rubber plantation. And that was a good idea, and it worked for a time.
This was in, I think it was 1932 or 33, something. Somewhere there.
It was shortly before or after the 2019 crash.
Huh?
I am not so sure if it was after or before. 1929,
okay, yes.
1929, yes.
Yeah, you're right, okay, yeah. Thanks, yeah, good.
But the thing is that, as I know the story, is that the rubber plantation of Indonesia were too much of a concurrence for that specific place, so they had to shut it down, and they kind of left the place intact, except
were,
maybe for the heavy machinery or whatever.
Sorry, what?
It was controlled by the Dutch?
The Indonesia was Dutch colony. Dutch
oh, yes, yes, Indonesia, yes.
Amazing, rich in rubber, number one, and in oil as well. And also in mining, at that time, much less than today, but very strategic, geopolitical important area. That's why the Japanese occupied it, right? To get
yes,
control over the rubber
and the,
and the oil.
Exactly.
But yeah, exactly. In Portlandia, what happened is that the people, the local people, it's in the north of Brazil. It's in the near to the mouth of the Amazon, let's say. And so it's about, I don't know, 300-400 kilometers away from the coast. It's not like in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the Amazon. But it's, it's in the jungle. And very hot and humid climate and so. And these, the local people, they protested against this Fortlandia company of Ford, and they kick him out. And because the rules were, in Brazil, imagine this. And this was, this was very early in the 1930s, but they forbade to watch football in Brazil. for the Americans listening, U.S. Americans, it is literally like forbidding football, American football, which is not football, but good. It's not playing with your feet,
no,
so it's bullshit word, but okay, that's an excuse for a long commercial event, that's what I mean.
Oh yes, and I think that it's even worse than American football. I think that in Brazil, at least, it's worthy of a riot even.
In the middle of the jungle where you don't have anything else to do, football in Brazil in the 1930s, it was a radio, that was the only communication method then, right? No television yet. So radio, and there was probably one radio or three radios in the village. But it used to be a statistic. I remember as a kid, I watched so many atlases and encyclopedias and all that shit. And then I remember there was a map with the amount of radios per 100,000 people or something. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that.
Please.
My mother always told me that. I want to say my mother always told me that my grandmother listened to boxing match on the radio, and that is something I never could figure. You know, could never imagine that it was possible to listen to a boxing match on radio.
What? Why do I get map? Here are countries with the world's highest murder rates. What the fuck? This is Google. Google sucks. I know. I should change to DuckDuckGo or something. But fucking hell, it's metal bands per capita. What? A world map of metal bands per capita? I think Finland and Norway are probably
the greatest.
Finland and Norway.
Yes. Sweden,
Iceland. it's no surprise. It's not really it's not even a map. But
yes.
If you have an article on The Atlantic, why don't you show the map? Okay. Sorry. This is not what I was looking for. No, please keep talking.
So yes, like I was saying, my great-grandmother used to listen to boxing match on the radio. Could you imagine that? And it was not even 100 years ago. So the jump that we did is just impossible to imagine for everyone else but us. Every human from every period, you transpose them 100 years later, they will kind of understand what is going on in some ways. You know, there is some common ground, I think. But now, from now and 100 years before, incredible, the change, impossible to understand. It will take too long. The brain will shut up before beginning to even understand what is happening.
Yes. No, it's going so fast, and people, there's this sense of there is an end of history or so. It's this present centrism. That the present, that's how it is. And the rest is history, okay. But no, we live in a continuum, right? I mean, the future of tomorrow will be history at one point.
Yes, and we are the produce of those events. Those people, those way of thinking. We are the evolution of that. Those things were not to have happened. The future, which is our present, it will be totally different.
Yeah.
And people tend to forget that many great human innovation came in wartime.
Yeah, I mean, war is, of course, in a time period they use to speed up inventions. I mean, we wouldn't have airplanes and other stuff, and I mean, commercial flight and so accessible, especially in Europe, for nothing, literally nothing. We wouldn't have that if it weren't for the two world wars before that. But that is only in hindsight, because why not? I mean, there's nothing that goes against that a group of humans invented flight, and that it completely became something good for humanity without wars in between, or necessary, right? And just in hindsight,
many things would be invented.
It's a cause and effect thing, but that's a lesson of history, and we don't need these kind of things. Actually, they use it as a lesson, right? In the clown world perspective, they use it as a lesson that we need war.
Yes.
Because it's
an accelerator, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the two biggest war in human history, and they are in conjunction with the biggest technological advancement. Not that is a good thing, it's just the product of that. Or maybe the people in control are using the war to roll up those new technology.
Of course, for sure. Of course, yes. I mean, there is so much. I mean, war is not profitable for normal people, but for the Nika Jews, it is profitable because it has so much industry in the back of it, right?
Yes, definitely.
And I think this is the biggest lesson from the Third Reich, because there is this present day corporatism, what we have. I think what they have done is they use these different ideologies as experiments in different places on Earth. So did it Marxism, of course, in a big part in Soviet Union and related countries, and fascism in quite some countries, including some countries you wouldn't expect, right? And dictatorship related attitudes to get this corporatism into the present day world and the future. This financial fascism, corporatism, that you have Google and YouTube and all these big corporations, banks, and so they're too big to fail because they're supported by stolen money, our money, right?
Yes.
This mechanism or this system, well, they took over from the Nazis, from the fascist side, and the social programming and the engineering side, that is mostly from the Marxist thing.
Yes, and we were speaking about Hugo Boss, and in the end, Hugo Boss is still existing. He's still in fashion, and no one will tell you that your Hugo Boss suit is outrageous to some people and that you are a fascist because you are wearing that.
No.
So the right people will always end up on the good side of things. And it's the same for
probably that means that this guy, because I did research on this guy, and there's very little to find, and like we talked about in the pre-chat, there's only one photo to find. But that would mean that he is probably legit, right? He just had a business, and he was good at what he did. So he sold that. The Nazis were just clients of him, right? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He was not prosecuted for anything. And so, he just supplied uniforms to and other stuff to clothing to the army and the Navy.
Yes, and we know it is. In the end, if you sign a contract with those suckers from the military, you can always surcharge them or make them pay an higher fee or whatever. Even in wartime, you know, there is always good money to be taken from those poor.
Definitely, of course. I mean, business interests are being concentrated with war. And also what they did, they also did the same thing with Freemasonry, because the myth goes around that the Nazis, they were very anti-Freemasonic, which is untrue because they started Freemasonic. the origins of the Nazi Party are Freemasonry, or in Freemasonry. But they closed off just a couple of lodges, and they publicized them, they propagandized them. I mean, they were the masters of propaganda. They, another point, they learned from it.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Yo-yo, here is Missum, and you'll be listening to Psychologist Radio at psychologist.com. What you tripping for?
Fucking hell. I have to put down my headphones. But why the fuck is this creature coming into our chat? Fucking hell.
It's the second time. It's the cat. It's follow you.
I don't know. Last time I don't remember that well, but now fucking hell, man. And she deleted my stuff on exoplanets on Wikipedia. Hey, what the fuck, eh? You insane. And also about this satellite, this Telstar satellite. It's now back because I put it back there. But Jesus, man. Okay, please. You want to talk about the future, right? I mean, that was the.
Yes, the future. What will the free future hold for us? What will
it's kind
is
of a big
forward?
And broad question. Can you specify?
Yes, but what? How can I say it? The first change that we saw was that now everyone is connected. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was not so long ago that it was kind of expensive to have a big data plan, but now it's over. Everyone from almost every country in the world can afford to be.
In Fordlandia, everybody has a smartphone and internet.
You think so?
Yes. Everyone is a bit okay. Sorry, not everyone. Maybe grandma, 90 years old. Yes, I have not been to so many of these kind of remote villages here in Colombia, but you got quite some little bit going there, and no, it's so widespread and it's so. I mean, they may be stolen or so, right? Or on a big scale in the harbors of, what is it, Belém there in the north? Of course. I mean, it's how things get on the market.
But the thing is that, yes, everyone is connected, and that is one of the first big changes that we can see. And what will be the added change to that, you know? Now that everyone is online, the first part of the work is done. What is awaiting us? What will be the next big trend, you know?
In terms of technology or in terms of social engineering?
Oh, social
or the
technology,
combination thereof? I mean, like a Black Mirror kind of scenario? Or what? How?
I think in the broader sense, let's say the societal change way, you know? What will be the new compartment that we will see in people and all that, you know? One thing I noticed is that people are paying less and less with cash, and we all notice at least in the Occidental world. Maybe it's the case also in Colombia, you could tell me, but there are more and more cashless registers.
And Holland is one of the worst countries in that, and Sweden, I think, is number two. With all the thing which is they push as so-called progressive, right? Because that is the narrative. It's progressive. It's for the future. We need that, right? And there are arguments for it. I mean, it makes it much easier. I mean, it would be very easy to have a chip in your body. You don't have to pay anywhere. You just it's deducted from an account somewhere, and that account is being refilled by your salary, and you get that at the same chip or whatever. I mean, that would be convenient, but it doesn't mean we need to go to such a. This is clown world thinking. In terms of normal day to day business, in supermarkets it's different, but in big buys and so on and stuff. But there's a lot with checks still and with cash. I mean, cash is. I pay 98% cash. 98% cash.
I almost never pay anything with a card. Almost never.
But
I almost never buy anything over the internet.
okay,
yes, but I also realized that those people need to work, and I am one of those people in the end, so fuck the machines, you know? I don't want to have a cashless register, that doesn't interest me. No. Those poor ladies that have children and all that, and I don't know, it's like destroying those low-paying jobs.
We can do something about this. This problem is consumerist world, which gets less and less recognizable, and shifting cultures in the back of that, right? I mean, any center of Holland looks all the same. There are a few exceptions with historic buildings, but the rest is just all the same bullshit. You don't even recognize where you are. And it's all flat, right? The terrain doesn't help. But this, that's another part of this communism world that they were so-called fighting, or this Eastern German gray town lack of diversity. Oh, they're doing it in a bit more colorful way, but it's the same trend, right?
Yes, it's almost the same thing. And there are a few patches of land in the world where they don't speak too much about diversity. But those still exist. In the Middle East, there is a small place where they don't ask much about diversity or whatever. There is also Japan that is really interesting. I don't think that many people are calling for Japan to host refugees or whatever.
No. Japan is very restricted. Actually, I spoke to a Colombian guy. He lived 15 years in Japan. And he had a wife there and children, I think. Yeah, children. But he was now back in Colombia. So marriage didn't work or whatever, but he lived there for 15 years. And he spoke Japanese for a Colombian. Well, and it was very interesting to talk to him and talk with him and to hear how life is over there and so on. But it's very unusual to have immigrants there, especially maybe some Koreans or so, or Taiwanese, okay, but a Colombian, that is really rare in Japan, I think. Really like lost in translation, right?
Yes, but of course it's a more hermetic society and can totally consider that.
Yes, and it's great. I mean,
that's what the
Second World War was, for their part, was staged by the Japanese opposition to that, or for their own prestige or whatever they want to do it, control resources. But they kept that. Germany, that was destroyed, right? I mean, the German people, there's no people who is more ashamed of their past than the Germans, which is completely ridiculous, even if it were all true. Even if that, it is ridiculous. But the Japanese, who I think did much worse things, and many of those were true. There are exaggerations and complete inventions among them, but many of them were really true. In Japan, this shame is not so much visible, at least not what I know. Maybe you know a different side, but no, I mean, there's still pride of the country and like nationalism, national pride.
Nationalism may become political,
but it's ethnical or cultural pride. It's great. Right?
Yes, there is a sort of shrine. Oh, yes, I think that shrine is the name in Japan, where it's controversial because there is the name of a few people that were accused of war crime after the war. And the thing is that I don't know in recent years, but when I was a child, there was a controversy about the fact that a few prime ministers of Japan at the time in succession went to that shrine.
Okay.
In commemoration of one event of the war, or maybe the end of the war, or whatever. And there was a controversy because, yes, there were a mention of a war criminal in that shrine.
Sorry, we get bombarded by 16 years of prison system and then a whole life long of television of convicted criminals and murderers and rapists and killers and all the bad stuff, but it is bad if you visit one monument where it's one name of one of these people? Is that the clown world we're living in?
It is exactly the clown world we are living in.
Okay.
And it will get worse and worse, and that's what might worry me about the future, is that the fact that what we are saying now and what we said on the previous chat that we had can get us in trouble, maybe. That is something that for me, not for myself, trouble? Because...
Okay. Where do you expect trouble? Your children?
In the sense that, maybe for the future generation, it will be way, way, way more difficult to express themselves freely.
Yes.
At least on the internet.
Yes.
Maybe the first few years on the internet that we both had the chance to experience would be seen as the golden age, kind of, later on.
Very much, yes. When I discovered the internet, and I did I mentioned this a couple of times, a school presentation in 1996, and then it was very new for the non-nerds who didn't go into news bulletin boards, what was it, stuff like that. It was new, and there were very few internet connections in Holland back then, and so immediately I jumped into it. It was immediately embraced it, and I still think it's the best invention. Right since that time, right? I mean, there's nothing else. Like railway and flight are definitely among them.
Street lightning. Street lightning.
Of course, it has its effects, but plumbing, I mean, it will be much more, right?
Oh, yes, that's a great one, plumbing.
I mean, I've been to India, man, and it's disgusting. It is literally disgusting.
Yes, and that is something that I read in a book when I was a child. The book was wrote by an interesting guy named Charlie Bauer. And this character, Charlie Bauer, was kind of a marginal criminal. But not a low-life criminal. I am criminal, like a bank robber and a kidnapper and whatever. In the French, in the 70s, Charlie Bauer. B-A-U-E-R. Bauer.
Bank robber?
Yes. Okay. And this guy was associated with the famous Jacques Mestin.
There's a movie about him.
Mestin, exactly.
Movie in 2008. Okay, please go on.
And the guy was... Yes, and the guy was describing his childhood in Marseille. In the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. And I was horrified as a child by the fact that they did not have access to the toilets, you know. You had to do some things in a pot and throw it out on the street in the morning. And that was something that stayed with me, you know. That they have no, like you say, canalization or whatever.
I mean, this is, sorry to interrupt, but I am now watching The Independent, mainstream media. First, I get a huge advertisement for something local here. Then I got a movie, a picture of, who is this actor, French actor, the good guy.
Vincent Cassel.
Yes, exactly. Thanks. And then I get a video, start quiz, quote of the week, of Putin and Trump on the G20 Osaka summit in Japan, right? When they, is it now or is that when they staged the hoax, the stabbing hoax? But that's in the article about Mestin. Fucking hell. By 2nd November of 1979, following his 20-year career of bank robberies, murders, and kidnappings in 6 countries and 3 continents, 4 prison escapes, 2 compelling books, and a dozen self-dramatizing press interviews, the French state had quite enough of Jacques-René Mestin.
Oh, yes, this guy is a character, one of the greatest. I don't know if there is...
No, I didn't hear, I never heard about it. Le Grand Jacques started as a minor criminal on the outer fringes of the far-right-wing terrorist group, the OAS, Organisation de l'Armée Secrète. He ended as France's most wanted man, a self-proclaimed anarchist revolutionary.
Yes, just not to cut you, but the OAS is mainly an organization that was responsible for many terrorist attacks and murders in Algeria. The organization's main goal was for Algeria to remain French.
Yes, basically. Okay. So they're already counterpart to the FIS, who did the same in France.
No, the FLN Algerians. At the time. FLN was the thing at the time, but it's almost, yes. Just to give a kind of context, the OAS was an organization that also supposedly tried to assassinate Charles de Gaulle.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes, he was on his way to the airport or coming from the airport. I am not sure about that, but supposedly they gunned down his car and he had the luck of not being hurt.
Oh, but they gunned
down the car.
That was
a great commercial for the car. For the,
yes.
I think
yes,
it was, he was using a Citroën DS or something like that. Mm. I'm not sure of the model of the car, but anyway, that was a great commercial for the car. But they tried to get him, supposedly.
This is one of the most famous cars of all time.
Yes, and this guy, Charlie Bauer, that I mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was
looking for him,
Bauer, but
I found this. Charlie. Charles Bonson.
But,
Charlie Bauer.
Yes,
he linked up. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I linked up with an ultra-leftist revolutionary, Charlie Bauer, who seems to have influenced Mezrin to think, or at least pose, as a political activist.
But the thing is that those guys were subjected to some kind of torture. Firstly, physical torture, that he mentioned in great length in his book, but secondly, some psychological torture in the fact that they were detained in those structures called the QHS, for a quarter of high security, basically it's quartier de haute sécurité. And the isolation and the lack of human contact and the way they were treated can get someone totally crazy very fast. So this guy, Charlie Bauer, he was so traumatized by the experience and the way that he was tortured by, supposedly by a cop not in his childhood, but in his teens and whatever. So he was totally influenced by that, and he started to get into some kind of organization to destroy those places, and he wanted to build a kind of team to attack those places and liberate the people that were on there. They did that. I think that, I don't know in which sense, but I think that maybe Charlie Bauer freed Jacques Mesrin, or Jacques Mesrin freed Charlie Bauer.
Yeah, but it's funny to see them both from the extreme left and extreme right. That's how, at least how the article is, working together for a common goal, right? I mean, that is how the world works. It's not left against right, it's these state groups and so against us. It's the,
yes, but to be honest,
Fudu chess playing nigger Jews against the normal population, who is not psychopathic, right? Yeah.
Yes, but still, it was a fascinating book to read when you are in your teens.
Yeah,
the story of these guys.
Yes. I mean, but they don't teach this kind of stuff in school, and right? I mean, nobody knows about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it might not be a great example, but like you said, that's not something that he will tell you in school. And if you are lucky enough to come upon those kind of books when you are in your teens,
he was the most wanted man of France, and you would expect that you hear about that in school. I mean, at least I know a bit about some of these guys in Holland, but the Heineken kidnapping, and it was it's common knowledge in Holland, right?
Oh, there is a few of the stories that are common knowledge, and the Jacques Mesrin story is also common knowledge, but his friend Charlie Bauer is a bit lesser known, but he did survive the whole adventure, at least. And I can say that I had follow-up on the guy for the last few years, so maybe he's dead right now, but at least he survived and lived to tell the story and to try to change things.
Okay, yeah. So did he accomplish anything?
I am not sure. I think that they changed the kind of detention that they subject those people to. But the thing is that all those changes were probably reversed when terrorism came back into the picture, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in those days, you probably found some guys that are treated exactly the same way that they were in the time. And nobody is crying about that.
They just changed the colors of the screen of the stage.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Open your eyes.
I want to live a real life. I don't want to dream any longer.
Yeah. So they're just changing the face, but they keep the same principles in the background. It's not... I mean, like
yes, and we'll,
before, they went from anarchist terrorist and to environmental and communist terrorist and then to Muslim terrorist. about different groups they want to suppress.
Yes, and in the end, it's always a good excuse to ramp up the security and whatever. But yes, the story of the French criminal from the 70s, it's really interesting. And if anyone has a thing for this kind of story, I really recommend that you...
Sorry, you have to go. Who was? Bauer guy?
Sorry?
He was involved in the shooting the goal? Who was?
No, not any of those characters were involved in the, with the shooting of the goal, but the OAS as an organization.
They were trying
to shoot down.
And they were working for the same organization?
No, I can't say that this Bauer fellow ever worked for the OAS, and if you read his book, quite frankly, he's more of a leftist guy, so I don't really think that he would have anything to do with those guys.
That's ridiculous. We just saw it. He worked together with Mezrin. Mezrin was on the far right, so-called, and Bauer was on the far left. I mean, they were buddies. They worked together, right?
But in the end, there is no...
You have to step away from that idea. They would never work together, because you have to think like these clown worlds people do. It's not this mask of left or right or so. It is the revolutionary part that binds them. The way they can be used as agents, right? They have the same, their colleagues in the same class where they get a job interview. They're in the same room, and they both have one mask of right, and they will both be hired for the same kind of job. That's how it works, man. Come on.
In the end, I think that firstly, those guys don't really believe in anything else than money. Like all good psychopath does. And secondly, I think that it's a small world. It's kind of an elite, you know, the high-end bank robber.
You cannot... bank robbing is just a tool, right? It's not the goal, the end goal. Right? But these guys, I don't think they could do it if they don't believe in it. I don't think you can act... I mean, you have to have some... more values or ideas about the world, especially if you're in these political things, in these left-right things. I mean, look at the environmentalists. Many of these people you will meet in working for those companies are very much for the environment. They work for companies who don't have that as primary goal, of course, but they don't realize it, but they care for the environment in the end, right? It's not they're consciously faking that they care for the environment, but actually they're not. There is part of that as well, but, you know, in general sense, you have people doing what they believe in. That's what you see in society everywhere. So, of course, these politicians, they are much more flexible in their views, but they have some core values they are purchasing, or purchasing, I don't know, but, you know, you see what I mean?
Yes, I'm not so sure about that, but I see your point.
Okay.
In my view, it's most that you get to stick to the persona, because in the end, you cannot get up one morning and say, okay, fuck the left, now I am with the right, and fuck everyone,
no.
So you stay with them.
Sorry, you cannot do that?
No, who does that in one day?
Both Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini started off as Marxist revolutionaries. Yeah, I mean...
Yes, but it takes time. I mean, it doesn't happen in the clap of a finger, you know?
Okay, but...
It takes some kind of acclimation for people to accept that. And
yeah, but that's okay, but that's with everything. I mean, right? Anything, you learn new environment, new job, new whatever, right? New plans, whatever. Yeah, you have to...
But yes, maybe there is some people in politics, maybe some... low-level people that are believing in what they are doing, but in the higher end, I think that they clearly know that they are playing a character, and they are totally fine with that.
Yeah, okay, but it also depends on what. I mean, playing a character to achieve that which you believe in, that's possible, right?
Yes, totally, of course. Some people are insiders, some are not.
I mean, a woman who puts on makeup is doing that already, right?
Yes, or spending your whole month's salary try to entertain a young lady. That's almost the same thing.
Exactly. It's the same thing. I mean, we all use manipulation techniques in our everyday life, consciously or subconsciously, to get what we want, right?
Totally. That's a totally accepted practice, and no one can say nothing against that in the end.
It's natural. Right?
Yes. Be deceptive, lie, manipulate the fact is something that is totally accepted.
The thing is, of course, how far do these boundaries go, and what are your principles, underlying principles, right?
I don't know. To be honest, the lines are getting blurred, you know? Because first principle would be show yourself for who you are, and if you take the new technology or the filters, the appearance changing filters that you can apply to your face or whatever.
But you can detach from that, right? There's no need to.
Yes, you can, but there is a whole culture of people that are relying upon that every day.
There is a generation of people that has never took
a picture that was not applied any filter or modification or whatever.
But there's a whole culture of people who like to eat chicken brains. My point is, there is a whole culture of people of something, but I don't see the relevance.
Yes, no, I mean, but it's future, almost, right?
We're talking about future, and what about the lessons of future? And I think that is great to, just for the people who are in an environment where this cultural, social pressure is so strong, to keep resisting it. That's the thing. That's the correct thing we can do, and we should do, right? It is changing your own behavior.
Yes, but like I said, we groan with it, you know? At least I grew with the internet, you know? And things started slowly, and I had the time to adapt, to digest, to entertain, to try, to erase, to subscribe, you know? Before it gets too big, too fast, and it changed a lot. I remember in 2000, I asked a friend if we ever be capable of downloading a movie. So,
I was probably downloading 4 or 5 movies a day back then.
I remember the city internet line where if someone had to pick up the phone in the house, you were cut out.
It also coincided for me when I left home, so that was great. I lived by myself and I had the internet. So I literally spent all the time since then on the internet. That's for me is. And the same thing, I met my best friend via the internet, and he did his project of living 1 year without internet. 1 year, one entire year. And that is fucking amazing, really.
That's incredible.
He wrote a book about that.
Is it in English?
No, and that's the thing, I suggested to him, I recommended, please man, write it in English, because his English is good enough. But it's in Dutch, and yeah, that's the thing, nobody can understand Dutch, and there's no translation. So we knew each other from the internet, right? And he started living 1 year without internet. And that's the time he came to Colombia for 6 weeks. He was here, and I couldn't reach him, right? And he was here for the first time in South America, right? With his crappy Spanish.
And you did manage to catch him or not?
I had to work at the same time. I had a congress at the coast here, the Colombian coast, very nice. And then afterwards, I would meet up with him and we would travel overland. And it was great, we did. It was absolutely awesome, but it was a bit hard to communicate with him, right? I mean, he could only use fixed. You have these people here with mobile phones, but in a fixed stand at the corner of the street. You can call. It's like a phone booth, but you use a mobile phone. But it's attached to the booth, so it's not really mobile.
And that is how you use, that's the common way here to call in Colombia if you don't have a known phone or whatever, or you don't have data or whatever. But that was the only way he could communicate with me. And I was working at the same time, and he was home alone in the big city. So it was it was fun, but it's just interesting time. So yeah, the internet is for me. I mean, we're talking over the internet right now, right? And it says it all.
Indeed. What could we do without the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Totally different world.
If we're talking about the future, and if they would restrict that or take that away or something, I mean, there would be a huge change. Like what they did to Argentina and Uruguay a couple of weeks ago, and a 24-hour outage of power. That is the whole country, as I read. I don't know if that's true, but that is extreme control over our lives. And they can do that with the internet probably much easier and global. If that is going to happen, like let's say that becomes much more restricted and really like, yeah, some kind of political correct version of the internet. Do you have any idea about the dark web and so, I mean, the background, all that stuff? Do you know anything about that?
Not that much. I used the dark web a few times for contact some interesting people that were in another country. And that was really interesting to be.
It was like a dating. You use it for dating.
Yes. Yes, something like that. Anyway, I can say that there are some very, very interesting things to be found on the dark web, but is it safe? I don't think so.
Yeah, but what do you mean by safe? I mean, we're monitored here even as we speak now because Craig is bugged. So, what?
Well, even if Craig was not bugged, I am using an Android phone, so I am sure that whatever I am saying is always
listed. Yes. So, the only reason not to go to the dark web would be to not be because it would be unsafe. Or what can they do? They can steal your identity and or whatever. What's the thing?
No. I mean unsafe in the sense that you might see some things that you don't like or whatever. It's okay. Like basically the same thing as the internet.
You use the word unsafe for that? Okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean.
Yes, in the sense that you might, like I said, it's not safe to see some things, you know.
It's not safe.
How can I say that?
It's not pleasant.
Yes, it's not
pleasant.
Yes,
it's not
but...
Pleasant and safe are two different things.
I don't know. Some people are not ready to be confronted to some awful realities of the world. I will phrase it like that.
Okay, but it's up to each one in the world to assess
exactly.
That risk and to take the decision, right? Not someone else
with
for
an internet access can access that and look for himself or herself. But like I said, it's like the normal internet. If there is a normal internet, it's mostly porn.
It's mostly porn.
It is indeed. Most of the internet is supposed to be porn. I am not really sure of that.
But how can you ever measure most of the internet? How do you measure the internet? Sorry, but this is... I think there's many more news articles from any language than porn. Sorry to say.
I think there is more video on YouTube than there is video on porn?
I'm not saying video, but... no, it is definitely... I'm not saying porn is not a big factor, that's not the point, but... how major the internet then? I mean, come on. it's like the universe, right? Yeah. How big is the universe? Or how? What part of the universe do we know? Yeah, exactly. How old is it? There's a complete. Anyone who claims he's certain that we are certain about the age of the universe is completely disingenuous. Nobody knows that. We cannot know. By the way, we were not talking about that.
Not yet. Maybe one day we will know better.
No, yeah, you think so?
No, it will take a time machine and to go back at the exact time and to be able to measure it.
I think by definition, we will never know. It's like you can never see the back of your head without two mirrors. Right?
That is. Yes.
It is because we come out of it, according to this Big Bang Theory, or whatever religious view you hold, we can never see the extent of it. It's just our brains are far not capable enough to grasp the universe or the everything or whatever, right? I mean, it is by definition. Because we're just humans, right? I mean, we have a certain amount of brain power and possible connections and insights, but it is very limited to a very small container in the top of our bodies, right?
Yes,
we can combine our dreams.
So limited.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is, I think, looking at the boundaries of that is what science actually is. And that's actually what this whole fakeology or this investigation work also is. There's no difference, right? This is, is trying to figure it out. And that's why, I mean, sorry, I have no sympathy anymore even for these people who are just sitting in this claim, nihilist claim phase and so on. It's grow up, do something, try to figure it out, try to look for answers. There's data points, and you have to acknowledge that those are real, like Roman coins in the soil of England. This is real. I mean, I've seen coins as well in Holland, so this shit is real. So you have to acknowledge what is real and then build on your ideas on that. And then if the history is not correct, I think it's completely true that that's not correct. So then, but then provide an alternative explanation and not sit back and, oh, it's a hoax, period. Come on. Hey, this is a hooligan level. Come on, man. Sorry. That was a bit of a rant.
Yes, we must be above that level that things are totally fake and whatever. About the coin finding in the soil, I think that there is some truth to it. Of course, it's like in everything. The people that will fake it just to be spoken about or whatever. But
yes.
So if there is human activity, you know, you will find some remains, and that is totally normal.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. And there maybe it might very well be a different timeline. I also think that because of this dark ages, this is so crazy, right? I mean, suddenly for hundreds of years, humanity forgot how to live or something, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's like this Apollo moon landing shit. And we go six times in a short period of 3 years, a little bit more. But the first two times in 4 months together from each other, and then never again. Hey, this is not how mankind works. This is not how it works. And that's the same with the so-called Dark Middle Ages, which is only restricted to Europe. I know, in the Islamic world and India and China, so we're much more flourishing at the time. But it's strange.
Especially,
right?
Especially if you consider that...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
For your support. In my dream, I have a plan. Hello, hello.
Yes. So yes, as I was saying, especially if you consider that my cell phone is more than capable of giving the processing computing power for the whole Apollo mission, you know?
Oh, yeah, even more. Yeah. Great point, yes.
Maybe even two simultaneously, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you consider that almost every human in the world has enough processing power for sending a rocket to the moon, it might be possible to do it again, easily at that.
Oh man, I look forward to in 10 days when there is the moon chat, right?
Oh yes, that would be great. I hope that we have a lot of people with a lot of new input. And
yeah, we need
also
the Frank on the, right, next week, Frank. But
yes.
We're going to record it now, so it's audible for everyone. But please, what are we talking about? I'm still looking at Robert Dixon cover notes, but
Those two.
Yeah, this is a mural. I love mural. An extremely good mural. Wow. This is by the original author. Must be. It's in Brussels. This guy. I don't know what his name, but he looks pretty Eskimo.
The scientist.
And this guy looks also pretty Eskimo. The guy with the money. And the other guy with the money looks also pretty Eskimo. And the other guy with the money also. Yeah. Alright, this is great. Now, there's another scientist also. It's Einstein. It's literally Einstein, right?
It's the big one where most of the characters are represented.
It's this hero.
Okay.
Do you see it?
Yes,
I
don't know that. Yes, I see it. But it's a very...
In Brussels. I think it's
Brussels. Okay, so that is in relation with the...
Yeah, Brussels.
The atmosphere of the neighborhood. You know?
I don't know which neighborhood this is.
So I will read what I found. The Spirou mural fits in perfectly with the Marol district, where second-hand dealer reigns supreme. So that may be why there is all those people kind of throwing money at...
Is the church of Moran? The church on this building is represented in the picture, in the cartoon. That's a place, Place du Jeu de Balle. That's the Jeu de Balle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there is also...
Why is it called Fox's Square in Dutch?
Fox's Square, I don't know.
Vossenplein is Fox's Square. So it's one of the most well-known squares of Brussels because of the market there.
Okay. But it's a great mural, but it's like a few of the characters that I like on the comics.
Uh-huh.
Like the mafioso, there is this Vito Corleone lookalike that is very funny. That was very funny, at least.
Which one?
Probably still is, but I did not read the new one. The name of the guy is Vito Cortisone.
Yeah, but...
Like the medication.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, but the character on the mural, you mean?
No, he's not on the mural.
Oh, okay.
Sadly. Vito Cortisone.
Jesus. Yeah, that's... Also, these names they use, so these jokes. I mean, they are very good comics, right? It's very good to grow up with that.
Yes, and to be honest, I knew of Vito Cortisone before I knew of Vito Corleone.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It is funny how it works.
Exactly. So for me, I knew firstly of this comic character before I knew of the serious one.
It's like in former times, knew your parents-in-law and then your spouse. Still in some countries, that's the same, right?
So I posted a picture of the character in the live stream chat. But
it's a Google search.
Yes.
Peru. Amico mio! Tu ne me reconnais pas? C'est ton Vito Cortisone! You don't recognize me anymore? I am your Vito Cortisone.
And the character has a daughter named Luna Cortisone.
Really?
Which is a great
four-star name. Luna Cortisone.
So to be honest, it never occurred to me that way, but...
What? You never read comics and porn at the same time?
To be honest, no. It was too long.
Okay, that's true. I'm 5 years older, right?
Yes,
as kids, we had a friend, which was a neighbor, my sister and me, and on the attic of their shack thing in the garden, we found porn of Asterix and Obelix. Literally. A porn version of Asterix and Obelix. That was my first introduction to porn.
Oh, I remember that there was this Japanese cartoon character named Lamy.
Okay.
And she was a lady, a nice looking lady at that.
How do you know that?
And she was she was dressed as a cat at night.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she was hanging around on the roof with the other cats.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but a kind of a sexualized, hyper-sexualized cat woman.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with that, I would say. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes, but that is the first thing I saw where I said, damn, that is different, you know. That is not something I am used to see. I remember that.
Yes, I understand, yeah. No, we were talking about owls before with Laura in the chat, text chat. But about cats, I mean, cats are sexy, right? Cats are really... You have to conquer a cat. Just like you have to conquer a woman. If you do it the wrong way, you will never get the attention from a cat, right? So I love that about cats. A very deep personality behind those eyes, I would say, right? Character. I had a female cat, and she was literally hissing when my ex-girlfriend entered the room because she saw her as a threat. I was not doing anything, what I was doing with the cat, or what I was doing with my girlfriend, but you know what I mean, right? And this,
yes, it is.
She lived with me all the time, and then, and the funny thing was, not with her, with my ex before that, and my Maria, my ex who studied Spanish, she loved cats, and she was very much into cats, so it was very strange that it worked with her.
And to show kind of the cultural differences, I posted two pictures on the live stream chat.
I didn't get any updates. I don't know why. Ah, I see. It's like a tiger.
The first one is the daughter of the famous Luna Cortezan. And she's designed to be pretty, but not outrageous. And the second one is the Lamy character. The
first
from
one is
and
not
that
pretty.
That one is clearly designed to be outrageous, you know?
No, the first one is much better. Man.
Exactly. But that's to show the difference in what was designed for young people when I was a kid, you know? You get this kind of two different school and two different methods of introducing new concepts to children.
Yes. That's the future, right? Children. Of course.
Exactly. But anyway, they were playing this crazy character when this girl in her underwear was hanging around on roof fighting crime at night.
That sounds okay. I don't mind it. I would rather see that than helicopters in front of my house.
Oh, you get the helicopter now? It's time
No, 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 no. It's 7:30 mostly. 7:30, 8 o'clock. So that's in 2 hours, 2.5 hours from now. No, not now. Now it's very busy with cars and buses and trucks and so, but not... You hear it. No, it's not helicopters yet. But yeah, it is finding this crime. But did you think about what we talked about last time, about your children? I mean, truth-seeking and sharing with your children?
To be honest, it's a very difficult talk to have with your own children. to you with your children, and your own was unnecessary on the phrase, but anyway, it's very difficult, you know, you get to introduce the concept very, very slowly, and yes, in the end, it's everybody's choice to accept what you are putting in front of them, so it's like everything, if you want your children to be interested in dance or in whatever, you introduce the concept to them slowly, and
yes.
You see if it sticks or if it's not fitting for the personality, because in the end, what you want is their happiness. And if their happiness is to believe that two planes hit a tower on 9/11, be it, you know, in the end.
So it's not an approach like a Russian ballet dancer. You wouldn't say that would be a good approach.
I'm sorry?
A Russian ballet dancer education style. You think that's a good approach?
In what sense?
I'm joking, man. No.
Oh. No, I think that the thing is it's very, very difficult to have this kind of discussion with your children.
It is, of course. I'm not saying it is not. Of course. No, completely in his reach.
So I don't know. It, like I said, it will take a spin on their personal interest, be it music or whatever, and yes, try to introduce some concept about what's interesting them and maybe pick it from there.
If you're a good parent, you find it the right time. That's it.
Yes. Yes, of course. And in the end, if your children are intelligent enough, they will see you by themselves. That's your job.
Yes.
Your job is not so much to force ideas into their brain.
No. That's why I made the Russian dancer analogy, but it didn't land very well. Okay, it's fine.
Yes, the language barrier sometimes make the joke fell flat, so it's difficult. But yes, the children issue is something very, very difficult to approach. And yes, in the end, you want their happiness, and their happiness, it's not only your responsibility. And
if you don't leave your children, and the thing is, you have the control about a lot of things. A lot of things, and many more, I think, than we realize. We find many more things that at first glance seem we have less control over, but in the end, if you look at it deeper, you see you have control over it, right? And like money system, what we talked about, language, how you share, how you spend your time, what you share with people, what you learn from people, what you listen to, what you watch, whatever, right? I mean, our whole interaction in society. I lost my point. It's happening again.
Time 5:35,
it's point losing time. Yeah, I don't know.
So yes, to each their own, and especially if you don't live with your children, it's even more difficult, because what you want to do, you want to send them back to their mother with some crazy idea on their head. It will not help getting your point further, you know?
No, I definitely see that extra challenge you have, and it is completely understandable. You just want to have a nice time with your child and bring that joy across. Yeah, of course, that is for sure. I mean, but there will be one time or so when they grow up, they start talking about something that is close to you as well, because that's how it tends to grow. Your interest tends to grow towards what your parents, even if they're not there all the time, like or something you get a positive feeling about, right? That's how it works. So, and then they start talking about it, right? And then they start completely copying the mainstream story. And then you have to have a chat where you have to sit down for a good 2 hours or so, and just introduce that the world is different than what they get presented, especially at school at that age, right?
Yes, and there are so many things that you can point the evidence very easily, so it's not that difficult when they reach a certain age. But
The thing is, if you have, the bigger your, let's say, your portfolio or your repertoire of research or, I mean, it doesn't need to be deep. It means just something about this measuring guy and these connections. You learn from it, right? And you can apply that and translate that in the world of the child or the question or the point it is about, right? Let's take a point, a stupid point. Let's take, the moon landing. I mean, that's, it's an easy one as well, easy entry. And then, I mean, you can use your own knowledge or use knowledge about other psyops and methodologies and so that are universal to psyops and this behavior and so. And you can translate that to the point you're talking about with your child. It's hard. It's a challenge. I also, but that is what you, that's the correct thing to do, right?
Yes, that would be the correct way to approach it.
And there's no blueprint. It depends on the situation. It is, right? I mean, with some people, same with everything. With some people, you share certain information. With other people, you share other information. It's normal, right? I mean, natural. Completely natural. Nothing against it.
Yes, that's totally logical. Of course. That makes sense.
And that's the thing. That's what I've learned over the years, and I try to apply it more, is to break things down to the complete basics, the complete And then it becomes universal in many cases, and you recognize it in other things, and you can apply the same principle that you see somewhere else. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, we can apply some principle to different situations, of course. But life is very, very diverse and different, and you always end up in some different shitstorm that you are not prepared to handle. And that's what is great in the end.
That's the adventure, right?
Exactly.
Life is an adventure. And should I play some music, Chris? Is that okay?
Yes, maybe, yes. Yes, let's listen to some music.
Okay, well, any comments?
The drone, the whistle, the thunderous sound, it seared their eyes, it shook the ground. 100,000 voices lift, while ashes like dirty snowfall drift. The clouds of purple glowing gas, a tiny sun is rising fast. Your star is on the rise.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
God scared us more than you'll ever know. Fire on high and fire below.
A short intermezzo.
Yes. A small
thought. You like my heart style flips?
To be honest, it was never really my kind of music, but I did attend some great parties of that genre.
Oh, nice. Okay. So when and where did you go?
When I was in my mid to late teens, there were a lot of parties in different places over Geneva. Not that much anymore, strangely enough.
Hardstyle?
Hardstyle
in Geneva?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, but maybe I'm getting too old, that I am not informed of those events anymore, but...
No, it's
I don't see the problem.
I cannot blame you. I'm just saying, I used to be quite active in the party scene, and it has changed quite a bit.
Yes, but that's normal. We want to see someone in their mid to late 30s into a...
And then these people have fun, and they go do it once or twice a year, so it's great. It's absolutely... I mean, if there's anything I miss from Holland, it's that. The parties. Just drop two halves or one half or one ecstasy and a bottle of water and have fun all night. That is the best feeling you can have, and it's, not here. So that's the only thing I miss from that. But it's, and there are people doing that in their 50s, 60s, 70s, just once a year or so. Why not?
Oh, yes, I was not thinking about those people, to be honest. I was not thinking about the 40-year-old mom party animal, you know? Those kind of people.
Well, I had a party animal mom girlfriend, my last girlfriend in Holland. She was a very nice and a very, very good mother. And we were partying hard on Hardstyle and Ecstasy together. You've seen us, I've shared the video. So, hey, it's possible. There's no golden rule for everything and no for anything. She was an amazing mother, really.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I will not tell that in something that is to be published widely, but I could tell you a lot of story about some crazy person that are parents and that are the greatest parents you will ever meet.
Yeah, but Gary, do you see what I mean? I can tell you stories about people who eat chicken brains. you see what I mean?
Those are not the norm.
The thing is, I like to focus my energy and thoughts on not these people I don't care about. I mean, chicken brains or moms who drop 20 ecstasy pills and go completely bananas and unresponsible behavior and all that stuff. I mean, I know it exists, but I don't, I mean, it's noise, right? not what I want to focus on. I'm not telling you what to do, but it's I'm just sharing a thought of recognizing that.
Well, yes, those are not the most interesting story. They just came in the conversation, but yes.
Yeah, sure.
There are every kind of people around the world, and thanks for the loud motorcycle. Always appreciated.
We're here.
No, on my end.
No, I didn't hear it. I mean, there are too many loud motorcycles. And hey, there's this Renault, you know this Renault? Yeah, it's not a car, but it's on the road. But it's for one person city car. It's Renault, I don't know.
Zoe, Renault Zoe?
Could be, I don't know. I track him for this. Yeah, here, this one. Twizy. I see it now here on the road for the first time. I haven't seen it before. It's Twizy. It's a one-seater car thing. Right, kind of futuristic vehicle. I mean, come on, you don't want to be seen in this. This is not a wide one I see now, but where is it? Live stream chat. What the fuck? Hey, come on, man.
Oh, I saw some of those. Oh, yes, I do. But to be honest, those are more safe. Feel more safe than a scooter, for example.
Okay. If you compare it to that, yes. And I mean,
but the price
just,
is probably.
Was it two nights ago? I think, or two nights ago, I saw there was an accident, and it was blocked. And at night, it's somewhere 9-10 o'clock at night. There was motorcycles. I mean, motorcycle accidents are definitely cause of death number one in Colombia. I'm sure of that. So yeah, I know what you mean. It's more safe than a motorcycle. That's true, but it's not a car, right? And
yes, but what is ridiculous is that for that price you can buy some things really better. Everything that does not come at less than the price of the basic smart, for example.
No, and especially here. I mean, the cars are absolutely more expensive than in Germany, and second-hand cars are absolutely more expensive than in Holland. So relative to the salaries of the people here, it's even times three, right? So you cannot imagine that in Europe, how expensive cars are here. So if you buy such a quote-unquote car, I don't know how much money you have to spend, but it's completely, right? And it's insane.
Yes, and
you have the money
door
for that. Guys, well, you can park me. I have a small car. I like small cars. I have nothing to compensate for. So I have a small car, and I like it because I can park it everywhere, and it's all good. But it's a car, and not this. What is this Twizy machine?
Yes, and like I said, it's probably crazy expensive for what it is.
Yeah, definitely.
You can probably buy two motorcycles for the price of it.
Nah, scooters you can buy here, I think, for 1.5 million or so. You have a new, I think new even. Probably not, but it's like $500.
New one. Yes, right. Relative to the salary, of course.
What, sorry?
Relative to the salary, I think that it's almost the same price as here. A new one from Honda comes at $4,000.
Wow. No. A minimum salary here is about $850,000. That is, let's say, about $280 minimum salary per month here. And if you have a good, like an IT engineer with a good job thing, right? I mean, then you make, I don't know, $6 million a month, maybe, if you're lucky. So that's like $2,000. But most people, they live with minimum or even below salary.
Okay. Yes, because there it will take you a full month salary for a middle income, let's say, to buy a new one from Honda, for example. I saw the new one come at, I think it's...
One month minimum salary, yeah, for a scooter?
Not minimum, middle salary.
Okay.
Not a good income, but a decent one, let's say. But mid-income in Switzerland are really fucked up because there are so many people that have a crazy income that the middle ground is too high. It's not
compared to the rest of Europe. That must be definitely the case. I don't know Geneva, but what you tell and what you share is, of course, I mean, I know a bit about Switzerland. So yeah, but here it's even stranger, right? I mean, the upper class is very small and very rich. More than in Geneva, but more than in Holland and in right. In
but the thing is that if you are rich in Colombia, you are the biggest purchasing power, you know, than in Switzerland, for example, in the term of land and even in terms of goods and equipment or whatever, you know.
In Holland, I was and in Germany. I was middle class, right? I mean, my salary was okay, but it was not, like, spectacular. And then I came here, of course. I came as an expat, so that's a factor. But the amount of access on to things to buy and everything is so cheap then. So, and it was a former life of me where everything was cheap and it was easy. I buy a lunch for 40,000. Well, why not? And 40,000 here is a lot of money for a lunch. And that is in euros, 12 euro or so. That is an extremely expensive, or an extreme, an expensive lunch. And that's not what normal people eat here. I mean, it's a lunch for 8,000 or so. That is $2.50, €2.50 or so. That's the standard of living. And then compared to that, I mean, in Switzerland and in Holland and in Sweden, everywhere in Europe, and maybe not in Moldova or so, but the poor has access to cars and motorcycles or they have train systems. Here, I have spoken to people who have never seen anything else than the city they live in and the valley around it. Nothing else. They haven't even been to Bogota, let alone to other countries, right?
But because of financial means, you mean, who are relative of interest?
I mean, you have people, the bus is the most, there are no trains here, right? So, bus, if you have a bit, I mean, inland flights are expensive, but they're not like crazily expensive. But bus mostly, but even that many people don't have either the means or not they don't have family outside of the city or so. That's possible. But this is even up to academic level society, right? I mean, students and so. And I had a medical student, she was studying to become a doctor. It's quite nice, in Barranquilla, at the carnival there. And the coldest she has experienced in her life was Medellin. Medellin is like Geneva, May, springtime, all year round.
Wow. Never she wears an anorak or something like that.
Never. And Barranquilla is literally the steaming, tropic, hot, humid coast, which is horrible climate. Medellin is very nice climate. It's warmer than here, Bogota, and it's cooler than Bucaramanga. Well, it's very nice climate, and that was the call that she has experienced. And she was in becoming, like, studying like the underside of society. That's how it works. Different countries and different, and geography defines, and it's very clear here in the Andes, and the relation with the outside of that, to the east, is an area the size of Germany, but there is no road. All the transport goes via small canoes and small rivers. There's no road. And in the cities, you know, but there's no connection. Right? The cities, when the villages, the towns, they call cities there because there's hardly anyone living there. It's like Patagonia, but they're much less accessible. It's an area the size of Germany. It's ridiculous.
Yes, but we cannot really imagine that because in Switzerland, as you said, the geography makes that if you take a 2-hour train ride, you are in a totally different climate, you know?
Yeah, okay, but it's the same here. And yeah, there's the mountains, right? And in Holland, it's the opposite. It's also northwestern Europe, but it's flat. And okay, at the coast, you have a lot of wind. And I grew up with enormous storms. Here, there's no wind at all. It's nothing. And people complain sometimes, oh, it's windy. You know, like, what? No, you know, there's literally no wind here. Which is strange in the mountains, right? You would expect there's more temperature difference between the air, but no, there's no wind here.
There's not that much wind normally here, but you get the small periods.
Yeah, but we are both in a valley, right? We're surrounded by higher terrain.
Exactly.
Helps. Yeah, it's the same here. I've been out on the tops here. And yes, of course, there's wind there. And how did we end up?
Yes, that is something I need to do to go back to the top of the mountain, at least the one that is easily accessible.
Yes, I agree. I feel as well. It's nice to have mountains, right? It's nice to have a view. I don't know. It makes you. It also helps with recognizing Gaia's power, right? I mean, seeing the mountains around you.
Yes, and it gives you kind of a sentiment of security, you know. There is something that never changes around you, and you can rely on that. And
Be
it the season or whatever, those things are still there. You know the confine of your world, kind of, and you know kind of what is beyond that. But yes, you can be reassured that you really know what is
your value. It is funny that if you look at three different cultures in the Americas, you have the Aztecs. And the Muisca here, and you have the Tiwanaku cultures, right? They're all formed on a high mountainous platform, or you can take Tibet as well, same thing, right? So it's a mountainous plateau, so the climate is pretty constant, which is good for agriculture, and protected by the mountains and so on. And the lakes, mostly lakes also in the middle, or at least part of there, like Lake Titicaca in the Altiplano of Bolivia, and Peru, and a little bit of Chile. And, and that is where civilizations develop. And that makes sense, right? It's part of history that is all, it's not surprising. I mean, they stage certain parts of it, and they exaggerate, or they leave out, especially that, they leave out so much. And all the everyday life, that is different now. That is the real difference in the revolution of the internet and smartphones, is that the private life of normal people is first time known. Because before, if you write a book, but you need money to publish a book and so, right? I mean, letters, they get lost in time. There's no record of normal life of people, and that's literally the 99% of the time what things happening.
Yes, a lot of records of the elite, but not that much of the common people.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why we get such a distorted view of history in school, that it is about wars and psychopathic behavior. It's only because the psychopaths are the ones who left the traces. So it's not really the history is written by the winners, but, you know, the ones who get noted, or doesn't need to be the winner. In Napoleon's campaign in Russia, and then the Nazis did the same thing. Suicide. The deliberate suicide, I would say. Right?
Yes, I think that it depends on which event. Those are nation building, and those can be victories, and those can be defeat also. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
You can build a national myth around some kind of
In the end, it's about prestige. I mean, in the end, these people, they regard human capital as dispensable, right? I mean, they're just using us as pawns, as pieces of their voodoo game. So, if you get prestige out of a play like that, they do it.
Of course.
And that's why I don't think there's print in a script. Years, there are guidelines and goals and so, and then in the meantime it's possible to play around a bit, like there are games and logical operations and all that.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
Oh, great. Great, the Joker. Oh, what a great movie that was. And his role is just one of the best in movie history. Huh? Sorry?
I'm sorry, I was gone for like 10 seconds because the Discord kicked me out.
Oh, okay. It was the symbol of the Joker, the Dark Knight.
Huh.
Always,
yes,
always getting hit.
But yes, the world is a very strange place, and we cannot define an individual by patterns or whatever. Of course, you can observe that some things are look alike or some mostly the same, but psychopath are psychopath, and you cannot never really guess what is happening next.
No, exactly. Unpredictability is one of their main traits. So predicting the future is so extremely hard. Because of that. If it were indeed this pyramidal, like fascistic and autistic in the sense of following rules, clown worlds, if it would be like that, and part of that is true, like government and how it operates and how completely these people don't think about what they're doing, it's just robots, right? And that kind of behavior is there, but, and the military, of course, fascistic by nature, military, right? But it's an octopus of voodoo game players. It's not one pyramid, one structure with one eye or one family, one eye, whatever. No, it doesn't show like that.
Yes, and that will totally disregard the ambition that some people have. You know, you always want to go one step further, take the place of the guy. That is up on the scale. So, of course, there is some power struggle and some influence fight or whatever. It makes total sense. There is not a monolithic structure on the top of the pyramid, and there is never any conflict, and they really care so much about human life that they will not sacrifice anyone, of course.
And that is the thing, what I see in this Alex Jones kind of talk, that of this one pyramid thing and it's people at the top, and they're related people who also say that these kind of things. It's a projection of what has been taught to us, because we have been taught that the president is the king, is the ruler of the country, is the one with the power, blah blah blah. We know that is not the case. It's the people who are standing behind him when he signs his papers. And not even them. And behind that is another curtain. So, to go after that pyramidal view, this one guy at the top, same with companies, whatever, corporations, which are also not true because they are, by definition, supported by the governmental money. So, but that is what has been programmed into us, this pyramidal thinking. In every sense, right? There's one guy at the top, there's one trainer, one coach, right? And in a certain way, that is the truth. But there's a lot of things behind that. That is what they don't want to show to us. So what they leave out, actually, much more important than what they talk
about. Yes. Yes, it would be foolish to consider that there is one guy at the top. The work is so big that it's too much for one individual. Even 10, even 100, it will take the whole structure. And I think that there is conflicting structure at that.
You know the concept of fractals, right?
No. I'm not familiar with that concept.
No?
No.
Fractals are shapes that, on a small scale, they look exactly like on a bigger scale. Right, so like broccoli is like a natural version of it, right? And a bronchia in the lung. Well, I mean, that's natural versions of fractals. And that is what I see with this puzzle of figuring out who's behind this curtain thing. And it's on the small scale, it is like how it's on the bigger scale. So it is a spaghetti. It's not, it's whirling, it's dynamic, not. If it's not a pyramid on the small scale, it's not a pyramid on the big scale either. That's it.
Clearly not. It's way more complicated, and looking for the most simple explanation is not always the answer.
Exactly, and there isn't a transition zone between us, the normal common people, powerless people mostly, except from the things we talked about, the language and money and supporting small businesses and education and all that stuff, but we have limited power. And those who don't have to care about money, and the ultra rich and ultra powerful, and doesn't matter who you count under it and who you don't, but there is a transition zone between these us. And people of us have come across other people who have come high up in these ranks at different stands and different places in the world and so on. Interesting. So have a peek inside a bit and so on. But there is a divide, not left versus right, it's not Muslim versus Jew or Christian or whatever, no race. No, it's between the naked Jew psychopaths and us, and the transition zone in between, how big that own role in that transition zone, because if we buy Coca-Cola, we are already in the transition zone, right?
Yes. Yes, some people are, like you say, in the middle ground.
That's where the majority is.
Yes. Aware of some fact, but totally unaware of some. And that's where we are, to be honest. You know, many things about many subjects, but...
Mm-hmm. I think this is a growth of consciousness of how much you participate in that clown world. And it's a training, it's a test. I mean, everything is an experiment. The Cold War and the Nazis and the rain in Congo and whatever in Cambodia and whatever. It's a test. It's a testing ground. Social engineering. And the same thing is about our role in life and consciousness in our society and so. And it's also a test. Test of Gaia, I would say. Thought or whatever you want to say.
Yes, life is a test. And we all end up failing it because we die. No, I'm joking. Of course, it's a test, and there is many ways to fail it or to...
I would just not even consider failure, because then, right? I mean, I'm not saying there is no problems and something, right? Of course. But it's challenges. And challenges are failures, but you can learn from... If you can learn from a failure, it's not a failure.
Yes.
It's just like any sport or any car, driving a car, I mean, anything. If you learn from it and you don't do it again, it's not a failure.
Yes, in some sort of, yes.
If that were the case, then switching the wrong gear is okay. Ah, failure, yeah, you can never drive again, whatever. No, come on.
Yes, imagine that. But if you're in the car, you know? So that's the point in life. Of course, you can have fun with everything, but don't ruin the engine.
And I think there's a lot of people out there who are also sick of this clown world, but they're not so much into these conspiracies and especially the events and if people died or not. They don't care about that. But they care about, they see the same things, they see the same clown world bullshit, and they approach it differently, and we will never come across them, or maybe we will, hopefully we will, but maybe not, but probably not. But they are detaching from the clown world just as we do.
Yes, reality is on a different level for each and everyone. The implication that you choose to have on what is happening around you is different for everyone, and it's a choice you make when you go into adulthood.
I mean,
some information.
You have used like a grenade launcher type of artillery. If I would have had that right now, I could actually solve the world's problems, because there was a Coca-Cola truck driving past.
So that's a way of solving the problem, but that's too macro.
In this country, it is. In this country, you install a grenade launcher on your balcony and just shoot at trucks that are driving past. That is the If I advertise Colombia as this, then probably. Well, it'll be good for tourism, yeah. No.
Probably.
No, it's a very peaceful society, really. Italy is much more violent than here. Especially the driving.
Yes, but that's what everyone is saying. But you had the chance to drive in many countries, so I take your word that Colombia is one of the worst, if not the worst.
No. Italy is worse. I didn't drive in Italy. I didn't drive in southern. I've been to southern Italy, and we had a driver, but the people there are like crazy. And it's not here. No, Colombia is not that bad at all. No. I mean, you have to get used to it a bit. I mean, and Lima, Peru, I haven't driven there, but I've been in taxi there. Lima, Peru is awful, horrible. Buenos Aires too, as well. There's now a lot of traffic and a lot of traffic jam for the first time in weeks. But, it's pretty busy. Yes, I understand. Good point. So, what do you want to share, Garris, before we end with?
Oh, not that much. We don't speak much about the future, but we speak a lot about the present, and that is always excellent, I think. I really like that.
Yeah, really? I think there's not such a big division between the present and the future, because what I said in the present is already what I said, right? And future?
Yes, and if you look around, we see, we kind of see what is in motion, and we marvel at the next thing happening.
Future is just history you learn from.
Yes, and it will be a lot of fun to see what the world will become for our old age.
Yeah, it will be very different.
Oh yes, we will not recognize this world.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I think it's great to recognize the world of the 90s, the pre-internet time, especially.
Yes. Right?
That is really important. And bring across and share and promote, definitely.
Yes, the time when you were whistling on the
playing football outside, right?
Yes.
Exactly that, yes.
Yes, and you had to also play with, if you want to play video game with a friend, you had to be in the same room as you.
Yes, even that.
Totally different time, even that.
Okay.
So anyway, that was the talk on the future and on many subjects that we touch upon, which is always great. It always gives us a new material for further chat and for further research and further discussion.
Yeah, it's great to share ideas like this. Sure.
Yes, and it's always good to stray away from the enormous work that you did last week and the day prior to that. So.
Yeah, indeed. This morning I did a bit more of history. And it's interesting because you see links and Maureen Dunlop from... Her father was Chase Dunlop. We have President Farrell. Like the actor Farrell, Colin Farrell. They come from a powerful Irish clan. And stuff like that. It's just, it goes so deep and so far and so broad and so wide, but it's nice. Learning a lot about the history of countries. Yeah. Well, I checked it out on Wikipedia and check out the links. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, take the time to visit fakeologies.com and Fakeopedia and look at the research that was done there. And it's very interesting. There's a lot of colorful character. Like I said, my personal favorite being Julio Popper. And his wonderful mother, Pepe Popper.
This shows how crazy this clown world can be. There's so many of these gems to find there.
And all those people. And just by looking at the few family names, you get an idea of the picture of the bigger world at work in this.
Isolated. It's not isolated. It's part of a bigger thing, and it's that take a piece of the puzzle and you. Build a whole new puzzle, or you have to solve a whole new puzzle around it. It's great.
Yes, and it's very interesting because I pointed to you, for example, the Ley family that was supposed to own a patch of land in Patagonia, and you were able to correct me on it, and they sold it. So it's kind of very interesting because they trade for it, and people lost interest. And,
no, I didn't correct you. Apparently, my source was more recent. I mean, they keep track of it. So, but it was by the same guy. It was your information came from Federico Soria, and he also wrote the other information I got. So it was just an update on his earlier release. So he keeps.
But like I said, it's very interesting to see those people trading places, dying, losing interest, or having some. So some other meaning in life, or like I said.
I mean, it's the same with psychologists.
Yes, and it's the same with everything in the end.
Exactly.
You get this big project, and it lasts for a month, a year, 10 years, and then you say, okay, fuck it, I will never, never build back this bike, I will sold it, and it's over.
Well, that is a major difference between the reptilians and us, is that they work, think, and act, especially, on the basis of generation-long plans. I don't want to use a specific date or whatever time frame, but generations-long. Right? They think about their great-grandchildren, who they will never know, probably. Right?
Yes.
Stuff like that. And that is, and we don't do that. We don't tend to do that, at least, in the things we do in life, which is fine.
No. We think about our grandchildren and that end there. Yeah. We don't have much perspective of seeing them after. And
have some more generations ahead to think about. And that makes sense. Probably you and I would do the same if we have so much wealth or power.
Exactly.
Or whatever, right? I mean,
we
would make sure
some sort of yes, we would have some kind of grasp on what the future of our grandchildren will be.
Yeah, compared to all these sports people, well, not all of them. I mean, that's also not all of them, but that is an archetype of sports people, is that they get rich very young and very quick from an environment they're not used to it, like a Brazilian football player from the favelas, right? And then they go spending like crazy. That is not what these people do. These people stay in the shadows. They are investing only in things. Well, Henry Ford was not so lucky with his Fordlandia, but in general, they if not now, nowadays we have corporatism, so they have the state to back them up, and others to take the fall for it. I mean, it's not a casino. Well, it's a casino because there is no real gambling. It's not like a win and lose chance. They have eliminated the chance of losing, so they win all the time. So they've cheated the game for themselves. And while portraying the message that the game is not cheated. And it's just fair for everyone. That's what they call capitalism, which doesn't exist. And capitalism, indeed, the true capitalism, is a fair game. It's natural. It's what nature does. Competition and stuff. But also cooperation. So.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I
have a plan. The sample couldn't have come on a better moment, right? Excellent, excellent, excellent. But that's the thing. I don't pay $1.19 a month to Apple, and I try to share my thoughts at least and help my time at Wikipedia and material. So other ways of contributing. But that's how we should keep doing things and talking about the future. It's being conscious of what elements of the clown world we have in our own lives and what we can have control over and can change or improve or whatever it is, right? I mean, anything of the clown world, and detached from media, detached from education system if you can, or as much as possible, or whatever, detached from mandatory injections in your body, the chemicals in the food and all that. So, I mean, all these elements you can find, you can take care of. And I think language is funny to a certain extent, but especially language, that is our biggest weapon.
Yes, and
and which we can control, right? I mean, we control our own language, literally. There's nobody who controls that. The nigger Jews may think they do, but they don't have any control over that I call them nigger Jews. And my definition I give to the word, and why I use this word, to describe them. The reptilians, the voodoo, chess players, whatever you want to call them. Okay.
But yes,
within
yes,
our reach, right? It's our reach that is what we can do. So,
yes, and also always ask for a second opinion, whatever you do. Be it with a doctor, a mechanician, and if you can offer you the luxury of a second opinion, always take it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And there's nothing wrong with abusing the system. I mean, the system is abusive by itself. If you can use government money, I mean, they steal from us, so you steal just back, right? I mean, it's... Or if you have other ways of fighting the system or profiting from it, or there's nothing wrong with taking a piece of it. I mean, that's, you have one life to spend, right? So, and do that then. There are people among us working for big corporations or banks or whatever, right? Or have worked. And just get your money and your ideas and your thoughts about that out of that and... maybe start something new or do something else, whatever.
Yes. And you cannot change the world all by yourself, but you can change the world around you, and you can always change the people that are around you and the way you interact with them. So
I
don't bother with people that you
change.
Don't really need.
I don't know, change. Yeah, well, that's a good point. Please repeat. I don't know, change, but influence, at least. Or motivate,
yes.
Or whatever you want to use, but change is hard, but what you said at the end, Gareth?
Yes, don't bother with people that you don't need. Your time is precious, you only get one life in this world, so
yes, exactly.
Don't really bother with anything that is a loss of time or whatever. People that are a pain in the ass and that will always bothering you with their problem, they will never change. So help them in any way you can, because that's how you are as a human. But in the end, don't be afraid to detach from people that will never go nowhere. And will only drag you down.
Mm, yes. Yeah, great. I agree.
So anyway, let's
leave that. Great. Thanks for listening. And we'll play a song to close off.
Okay, so...
We'll catch you, man.
Yes. We will do the frag tomorrow and... on the subject, maybe we will do more on Plan Patagonia, because there is a lot of things to be spoken about. So maybe the tomorrow frack will be all about Patagonia again. At least
And maybe I'm coming later a bit or so I will let you know. But that's okay, man. And we will chat a little bit just a couple of minutes after this chat, okay? In the room.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Wonderful. So that has been Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. And thank you, everyone. And support the site, visit Fakeologist.com and visit Fakeopedia, because that is a treasure of information, especially the parts on the plain Patagonia. So bye, everyone. And I think that we will now end up with some music.
Well, I see by the clock on the wall that it's time to bid you one and all goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long.
So long.
Farewell.
Farewell.
Adieu.
Adieu.
Be good.
Stay well.
Bye-bye.
Keep warm.
Relax.
At ease.
Take care.
Stay loose.
Adieu, mon vieux.
À la prochaine.
Goodbye till when we meet again.